Oh, all right. Is that working? Wonderful. I'm going to read a couple chapters from the middle of the memoir that I wrote that came out last year. This chapter is titled School. May 2019. On Friday, around lunchtime, I got an email from Gracie's school saying that she had 3 D's halfway through the marking period and would need to complete a large backlog of assignments to get her grades up by the end of the year. I felt horrible. I'd been so focused on the union and work that I completely ignored her grades. She'd always been on the honor roll in elementary school. The year before, she had slipped a bit after her mother's death, but I gave her a pass. This year, though, she fell behind and was running out of time to get caught up. I snuck out of work early. I went home and cleaned her room. I scraped melted candy wrappers off the floor behind the radiator and swept up empty chip bags. I gathered and sorted piles of dirty clothes and put away her toys, most of which she hadn't played with in years, though her bed was still full of stuffed animals. I went grocery shopping, got dinner ready, and then picked her up from the Boys and Girls Club. I said, "You need to do your homework," and she said, "Sorry, Dad." After dinner, we sat down on the couch in the living room and got ready to go over all the homework she was missing. "I'm sorry," she said, "I can't keep track of everything." And I said, "When I asked you if your homework was done, you said yes." And she said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I'll help you, but you have to tell me you need help." We sat together and worked through her problems. She had a bunch of creative writing assignments due that we'd have to finish up over the weekend. We went subject by subject, and we almost got caught up. Gracie had also been late a few times the previous year and had missed a handful of days. I'd let her stay home if she said she wasn't up for it. I didn't think it helped anyone to be overly hard on her after everything she'd been through. I was searching for a therapist for her, but it took forever to find someone who accepted my insurance and worked with kids. UPMC put us on a waiting list, but they said it would be months before she could see someone. When we were almost finished, I said, "Listen, you won't be able to do this in high school, and if you want to go to college, you're going to need to get good grades and get scholarships because I can't afford to pay for it." I sat up and rubbed my eyes. I regretted being so blunt. "I know," she said. And I said, "You're smart. Just do the work. Do as much of it as you can in class." "I do," she said. She turned off her laptop and we played the new Mario Brothers game I'd bought her for Christmas. For the next couple hours, we jumped and fireballed our way through a few levels while Gracie played pop music on her phone. It was as much quality time as we got together. "Is everything all right?" I asked. And she said, "I'm tired of people calling me brave. I don't want to be brave. I want my mom." She spoke very matter-of-factly. "I know," I said, "it's not fair." And she said, "I remember my mom falling a lot and going to all these weird people's houses. It's so messed up. I don't know why she did it." "She thought she had to," I said. "When you're addicted to drugs, you do things you wouldn't normally." "Why did she do heroin in the first place?" Gracie asked, and I said, "I don't know." Jane told me once about the first time she shot dope. The way she described it, it was just another random night with her boyfriend after a Bob Weir show. But after that night, she said, heroin was all that mattered. Nothing else would do it for her. She was still in high school. I thought about the randomness of her addiction and of my own sobriety, grateful that I'd never tried heroin, while Gracie and I warped to a water level. We swam around in penguin suits and shot ice balls at pixelated fish and squid. "Your mom loved you," I said. "She was really funny when she wasn't on drugs." "Did you break up with her because of the drugs?" Gracie asked. And I said, "Basically, but it was more complicated than that." Gracie sat quietly and didn't respond. We played a little while longer, and then it was time for her to go to bed. I stayed up late watching TV, worrying about her and unsure of how to help. May 2019, under the lights. Now, this is like the 5-year anniversary of all this shit. That's fucking rad. Gracie's first game with her new 9th Ward team was a doubleheader way down in Oakdale. We made the opening day trip 35 minutes west on an unseasonably cold morning in late spring. "I wish I could play fast pitch," Gracie said. And I said, "That'd be fun." For some reason, there wasn't recreational fast pitch softball for little girls in the city of Pittsburgh. All I found online were travel teams in the suburbs, and those cost thousands of dollars and would require thousands more for gas and lodging costs. Gracie wasn't a prodigy, but she was a good hitter and she enjoyed playing. Mostly she liked the social aspect of it, but it was fun to watch her develop a competitive streak too. "I like this team more," she said. "We are better than Shadyside." And I said, "Well, most of the girls have been playing longer." We got to the game. The field was at the bottom of a big hill with a path that wound around the dugouts and snack bar. I sat behind the fence in right field and watched Gracie's team lose the first game by almost 20 runs and the second game by 10. They were overmatched, but at least they kept it close for a few innings in game two. I wondered why Oakdale was even on the schedule, and I was glad we wouldn't have to make that long trip again. Gracie played pretty well, though, and wasn't too upset on the ride home. "They hit the ball so far," she said. And I said, "They must all be 12. We sat in silence for a bit. Rides home were much more fun after victories when we could recount all her team's hits and good plays instead of how many home runs the other team had hit. We stopped at Wendy's on the way back. That summer, we spent most of our nights under the lights at softball fields across Allegheny County. Gracie had softball practice or a game 5 nights a week. The team that I coached was not very competitive, but it was still fun. Going to the Ninth Ward games and watching was much more relaxing, and they won almost half their games. Gracie also played up a division when Ninth Ward's 15 and under team was short players. This was mostly due to us living close to the field and being available on short notice, but she held her own as an 11-year-old against the older kids. When Gracie didn't have softball games, I played baseball. And once the school year was over, she'd come watch. After games, she'd tell me the same things about my swing that I told her about hers. "You need to stay back, Dad." "I know, honey. I've been trying to develop some late career power and mostly failing. I still got on base enough to be an effective bottom of the order hitter in our mid-level adult league. In a short season, though, it's possible to do everything right and still not put up good numbers if the ball doesn't find the gaps. But it usually evens out. Working on the process, pitch recognition, staying on plane, and making better contact is still worthwhile to me, even if it results in mostly singles. That summer, my team had another good regular season and an early playoff exit. The satisfaction of hitting a ball on the barrel with a wood bat in my late 30s is amazing, but it's nothing compared to watching Gracie do well in a game. I was proud, sure, but I was also happy that she was happy. Happiness had been in such short supply for both of us. Her first double of the season came in a night game against Reserve Township. She hit a line drive down the left field line that cleared the bases. They lost, but it was close, and I could see all the extra practice was paying off. She became a dependable hitter and moved up in the batting order. On a dry day at the field in Lawrenceville, right down the street, which doesn't have a fence, she put one in between the outfielders and ran around the bases for a home run. We'd stop for fast food after away games and talk about how she did and how the team looked overall. We talk about hitting, one of my favorite things. It was precious time together, and we grew closer. Those moments were fleeting, though, and I knew it. When high school started and she became more independent, we would have less time like this together. I still regretted not appreciating playing baseball games that mattered, and the summer days I spent with my dad when I was a teenager. I had mostly forgiven myself for being a stupid kid who didn't realize how good he had it, but sometimes that regret turned into deep remorse. I didn't want to have similar regrets about not spending time with my daughter. I put a lot of pressure on myself to be a good dad. The weight I felt I needed to carry lessened during the summer months. I don't know if I appreciated the time more because Jane had just died and I felt it was even more important to be there for my kid. Maybe I felt too self-satisfied with just doing normal dad stuff, clearing a very low bar by very little. I was constantly overthinking things, but I knew Gracie was happy when she hit a double or made a catch at third base. I could see that joy. I equated that joy with me doing something right, or at least not getting in the way. Maybe my view of it is all too self-centered, and I don't really matter that much, but I wanted her to know I was trying. In the smaller moments, when the cloud of her mother's death wasn't as dark and didn't loom so heavily, we could just enjoy our time together, and it felt great. I wasn't thinking about myself. I was thinking about Gracie and how much I loved her. I hoped she'd carry that with her. Thank you.